All right, welcome back, everyone, once again to another episode of Red Pill News. I hope you're out there having a lovely day. Joining me today once more for our monthly conversation is my good friend Bob Kudla from Trade Genius Academy. Bob, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Zach. How are you doing?
Excellent. You sound a little hoarse. Have you been doing some yelling, maybe at Sam Bankman-Fried?
No, you know, because everything's been so crazy. Yesterday, I did 5 different interviews and podcasts, and I can't even talk at the end of the day. And then all day long, I talk in my room. So bear with me, folks. You know, exciting times, though. I know we're going to cover all these things. And, you know, the old Chinese phrase, you know, be careful of living in interesting times. And yes. I think we're there.
Absolutely. Before we get into the heart of the conversation, like you said, I got a bunch of subjects lined up for us. But please give the audience a little overview of Trade Genius and what you guys do.
Yeah. So what we've done is we've created a couple of very effective algorithms that we trade for the stock market, the crypto markets, futures and option trading. And then we apply these algorithms. We start really seasonality macro. And we push down to looking at levels and looking at momentum. So, you know, these macros put us in a position that we win 2 out of every 3 trades, Zach. We have what's called a positive profit factor. That means we win more money when we win than we lose when we lose money, if that makes sense. So we're always kind of grinding forward and grinding higher. And the higher the volatility is, which we've been in that space, even though the VIX isn't high, the markets are swinging pretty radically up and down,
yeah.
Is that just benefits us. And so what we've done for our listeners that like to trade with us is we've created chat rooms. We have education videos that are part of the service. And then we give them access to these algorithms through these indicators that we have. And then we give trades out every day. So that's the service that we do. And then if you want to trade with us, you can go to TradeLikeAGenius.com or TradeGeniusAcademy.com. And right now, our specials are the Black Friday specials. And so they're even better than what we normally do when we do our show with you, Zach. You have to go check the prices out. I didn't do the math. It's greater than 65%. I think it's closer to like 75%.
Oh, wow.
My partner handles that aspect of the business. But if you just pick something in the store that's not bundled, you're looking at 60% off anything that's already not bundled, and that's retail, that's gross to net off. So if you want to, if now is the time for you to join with us, if you're ever thinking about joining with us, because this is the only time we do this. It's 2 weeks of the year. And if your listeners, the special runs to just this Saturday. So take advantage of it if you would. TradeLikeAGenius.com. I think you'll like what we do. I send Matt, Zach, attaboys all the time. I have a ton more if you want to get bored with them, but people are liking what we're doing. I think we're really helping people see through this clutter, Zach, that we're gonna embark upon talking about today, because there are some great, great trading opportunities coming up.
Absolutely. And that information is in the description below. So one major opportunity that has arisen recently, precious metals. I mean, gold is up a couple of $100, and that's been great to watch because it's been depressed for a while now. What are the factors that you think are leading to that? I have my own ideas, but I'm interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, a number of things. Number one is the dollar started to relent. The dollar pushed up as probably as far as they could probably let it go before it destroys the rest of the world. So that naturally supports the price of gold, because we buy gold in dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the same with silver, the same thing. Silver's popping too. That's number one. Number two is that people are smelling a pause, and inflation is not abating to the level that I think they would want it to, but they know they can't keep raising interest rates at the level they're raising it, or they're going to blow up the economy. So that helps support gold. And then the third thing is that I think all the trials and tribulations around, I don't want to call it the crypto problem. I would call it the fraud problem inside
yes.
of crypto.
Yeah.
And so, but to me, that's, you know, to people that don't really understand, that's a distinction without a difference right now.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, that's bad. Stay away. So where do you speculate if you hate fiat, right? You go into gold and silver.
Yeah.
So I think all those factors are coming together, and it's going to support a move in gold and silver on a go forward basis. And then we'll talk crypto in a minute, and I'll give you my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I absolutely think you're right. You know, it's when I see people talking about the crypto space and just equating it to, just a giant area of fraud. I mean, it's like, you know, criminals transact in dollars, too. You know, I mean, bank robbers might take $100,000 from your local Bank of America branch. But just because you're there getting change for a 20 doesn't mean that you're the same as a bank robber. You know, I mean, we definitely have a problem with fraud. And let's go ahead and move on to Sam Bankman-Fried and FTX, because I mean, this is not only the largest fraud that we've seen in the crypto space, but I mean, this eclipses, any of the other Ponzi schemes that we've seen in the past. I mean, this is the largest single wiping of wealth from the world at any given time. It's pretty staggering.
Yeah, and before I jump to that, I want to add to your point, too. In 2008, the biggest fraud that hit us was in the housing market, right? Mm-hmm. The liar loans in the mortgage market. But nobody said housing was a fraud, no. Right? So, and then look at Theranos, right? That lady, you know, she lied. And look at what Pfizer did. They lied. So it's really all about lying. And so to the extent that you can have an asset that people could trust, you know, and there are crypto assets that you can trust, and you do it the right way, you're going to do fine in this environment. Now let's talk FTX. So FTX absolutely, you know, was, I think this was a designed, This was a virus grown in a lab in Washington, D.C. Okay?
The crypto COVID.
Yeah, it's called FTX H1N1. And so this guy came out of nowhere. I mean, do you hear this guy speak? He could barely put it, you know, sing him. He should sing the lollipop song, right? And I mean, would you give this guy money if he approached you on the street and had this great idea? Absolutely not.
No.
So he well-connected from well-connected family. They saw a useful idiot here. They pumped him through a lot of money, turned right around and pumped that money right back into his protectors. And then they used his daisy chain to use this daisy chain just to move money around. Look, the Ukrainian thing's only a sliver of what I think we're going to find out what's going to happen here. Money is all over the place. This guy, it was like a Rube Goldberg diagram. Did you see this diagram of his entities?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, his father, coming off my monologue, if his father is, his specialty is tax shelters.
And this guy, that makes sense.
Yeah, this guy created this. It's like, you know, it's going to take like the FBI three lifetimes to go from and through all the transactions by design. Mm-hmm. And then the dude built a back door to evade regulators. At the same time, he's getting in bed with Gary Gensler, the regulator. And then he's out there, you know, as you like to put it, shitposting on Binance and Kraken. Yep. Trying to use the regulator to take out his competition. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing fell. So here's my conspiracy theory on this. So is that Binance, I think, is run by the Chinese government surreptitiously. I think they tried to take the Chinese out through Binance, through FTX. The Binance took them out instead, now exposed to Democrats. So I think this thing is, I think when we start, look, we already seen the daisy chain, crypto.com gone, BlockFi gone. Japanese are crypto exchanges are cutting off. There's another one today that I don't remember. I can't even keep up with them. I didn't even know there was that many exchanges out there.
Yeah.
And the one that was protected was FTX US, and they stole the money through a backdoor hack, you know, and that money is gone.
Well, here's the thing, though, Bob, that hack that just happened to happen as soon as they were filing bankruptcy. I don't know if you've looked into the specifics of that, but there is some very strange activity related to the way the hacker got in to FTX's system and then just secreted away that $2 billion. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out eventually that these were people from FTX that were just taking that last cookie out of the cookie jar, thinking that they could do it without getting caught.
Yeah, or FTX is paying off their backers, saying, okay, the gig's up on this thing.
Yep.
Here's your payment. So don't make me wash up on a beach somewhere.
like that guy in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly. So this thing stinks of high heaven. And, you know, and he did the bankruptcy. See, this is the thing, I think this is really interesting. He did the bankruptcy in the U.S. That means all these people that got taken are able to file claims now. And you're going to have Bernie Madoff type of clawbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised that all the Democrats that took money from this guy, money is commingled. They can't say, well, I took it from FTX International.
Mm-hmm.
Au contraire, we don't know where the money is. So you disgorge it. We're putting in a fund and we're giving them back to the investors that lost money. I mean, this is going to go, this is going to everywhere. I mean, Tom Brady, look, you haven't even heard from, where the hell's Matt Damon?
Oh, yeah.
He's gone. He's gone. I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady gets sued and Matt Damon gets sued and the Shark Tank dude gets sued.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is dangerous waters. And, you know, when you have lawyers hunting money on behalf of investors that got defrauded, you know, just because you said, all I did was, hey, I just marketed it. Oh, no, no, no. You induced people into this purchase,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I think this thing has legs for years.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. I like the idea that this was, you know, it's an operation at the heart of it, you know, that it just kind of went backfire from what they were hoping to do. Because, you know, here's the thing, you know, with the implosion of FTX, it has exposed a deep layer of criminality and corruption that is inherent in Washington, D.C. It's like we all knew it was bad, but every day we seem to wake up and another layer of the onion gets peeled back. And, you know, we're talking nearly $1 billion in publicly like admitted funds that have been donated to politics and PACs and, you know, individual candidates, just a ton of money. But then we've also got at least another couple $100 million that may have been funneled back in from the money laundering operation into Ukraine. And not only that money that was supposed to go to Ukraine to fight this, you know, proxy war between Russia and Ukraine, but there is also the staggering level of money that the United States continues to give to Ukraine for their war effort. In March, we gave $13.6 billion. In May, we gave another $40 billion. In November, Biden just requested $37.7 billion. That is $91.3 billion. That is 33% more than Russia's total military spending per year. And it's double what the U.S.'s average expenditure was on our own war in Afghanistan. There is a shocking amount of money that is just being siphoned out of the United States and straight over into a bottomless pit, as far as I'm concerned. We have no idea what this money is going to. We have no idea who this money is going to. It's like completely unrecorded.
Yeah, because Zelensky has all our politicians blackmailed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're just, you know, he just keeps saying, hey, pony up. Or, man, this stuff may get leaked, you know. And yeah, so now, you know, this is what happens when you get to the end, running out of oxygen on this stuff. So yeah, it's amazing. You know, and I'm glad it's exposed, you
Me
know,
too.
And I don't care who did it, you know, but this needs to end. And, you know, it's Washington DC created this non-elected layer in here, mm-hmm. that does all the blocking and tackling so that the politicians can keep their hands clean, but they know where their bread's buttered.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the stuff needs to get blown up. So yeah, we'll have to see, but I think it's going to be really interesting. And the nice thing about it, they can't sweep this under the rug.
No,
because too many people lost money and they want their money back.
Yeah,
it can't be like the Paul Pelosi thing where this thing disappears, you know,
or David DePape disappeared. I mean, Bankman-Fried yeah. may disappear. I heard he was on his way to Argentina or something like that. But
they got him trapped.
Did they? And is so he in the Bahamas?
Yeah, they're going to extradite him to the U.S.
Okay.
So
all right, good, good. The other thing about this is with all of those campaign donations and the PAC donations being of public record, I'm just waiting for the first one to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, pay back this money or, you know, like you said, put it into a fund. And so I'm really surprised that nobody has said anything so far. I mean, maybe they just don't want to draw any attention to their association to it. But I mean, this is the kind of thing that I would hope that somebody in Washington would be calling out and demanding that the politicians who took advantage of Sam Bankman-Fried's fraudulent funneling of all of this money from his customers into the pockets of Democrats, that they, somebody would step forward. I mean, we need somebody on the conservative side who didn't get paid off to be like, hey, you guys, you need to give that money back because people are hurting.
Yeah, there'll be a special master. So, you know, maybe people don't want to step in front of that train, but just like with Madoff, they created a special master appointed by the judge to recover the money.
Okay.
And you know, that's exactly where they're going to go. And the thing is, because money's commingled, you can't say, well, I got that money legitimately. They're going to go, no. You know, you're going to disgorge that. And you can't say, I got it before he did this. That didn't fly with Madoff either. You got to give the money back.
Yeah.
No. So you know, this is like a 2 to 3 year thing. Now, you know, when I put on my Fantasy Island, you know, music, I'm thinking maybe they're not going to. This was a big funding source for the midterms. Mm-hmm. You know, normally you don't get this kind of dough in midterm elections. And so now maybe they won't have an easy pot for the presidential election, and then they have to give money back. So this could be a twofer the other way, you know. And you guys got like guys like Trump already has $100 million tucked away, and you know, and if DeSantis runs, he could easily raise $1 billion. So you know, so the Republicans are going to be well stocked, and the Democrats might be playing defense. So it's going to be really. So.
Either way, you know, 2024 is going to be interesting. I'm assuming that you caught President Trump's announcement last night. Let me pose something to you here, because, you know, President Trump has had this history of creating public spats with, you know, powerful individuals, people that are generally considered to be close to him, maybe part of his inner circle. In the case of Ron DeSantis, obviously President Trump endorsed him, and, you know, he's been kind of a protege to Trump. But he is obviously the heir apparent once Trump decides he's not going to be in politics anymore. But he started this public feud, and just the other day, somebody on Truth Social posted, now that Trump has started this public feud with Ron DeSantis, all of the MAGA, anti-MAGA shills that pretended to be America first are now coming out of the woodwork and looking to use it to their advantage, and they've all exposed themselves. And President Trump retweeted it, or retruthed it, which kind of lends some credence to the theory that maybe this was all theater. And I believe this is what's happened in the past. President Trump creates this public spat with someone. They fight back. They trade barbs in the press. The people in the media report on it. They try to keep them pitted against each other. And then at the end of the day, they're having lunch together and they're, you know, working on policy. And really nothing seems to change.
Yeah, so I get that. You know, here's my view on this thing, too. So if Trump's our guy, you know, I'm obviously voting for him. But what troubles me is that it's not presidential, okay? And I think people are getting a little bit of fatigue at this point, you know, and that's what I worry about. Are we going to have, you know, Trump fatigue going into 2024? And I think he does best when he just focuses on policy. He's a policy genius, okay? He knows what people need to have happen in the country for us to move forward. But when he demeans himself, when he tries to take a shot back at people, he doesn't need to do that. And I wish and I hope and I pray, you know, in his announcement, he didn't do that yesterday, that he doesn't do that. He doesn't need to do that. When you're, you know, anybody here that's listening to you guys that have run marketing or personalities, is that when you're the lead dog, people sniff you're behind. You don't turn around and shoot back. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're aspiring. They're perspiring. And he needs to focus on that. It's not necessary. He doesn't need to tell me that the Democrats, in my view, are evil, right? I already know that. Mm-hmm. But he does need to tell people who are scared that I got your back. Vote for me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to get your jobs back. I'm going to save your cities and drive it that way. But instead, he gets himself all caught up in the women are pissed off at him because he says these goofy things. And he picks a fight with DeSantis, who a lot of people like. I love what DeSantis has done. I thought it was unnecessary. And that's what I hope. If he focuses purely on the issues and doesn't get sidetracked with this petty stuff, you know, the prize is the presidency.
Sure.
It isn't to blow these people up. So that's my view on it. Whether or not that was a good strategy, that's what dictators do too. You know, they expose their enemies so they can kill them, right? You know, he doesn't need to do that. If DeSantis is a smart guy, if he doesn't think he has a shot at this, he's not going to ruin his chances for 28, right? And nobody else is out there.
I mean,
Mike Pence, he might as well just go back to Indiana. You know what I mean? Glenn Youngkin, hey, he could be a great VP. You know what I mean? And if Carrie Lake would have won, she would have been a good VP. But she lost. Now she's not a good VP because Americans don't like losers, whether or not it was taken from her or not. It's mental for people. So anyway, that's my view on it. Yeah. But look, I think it all depends on who's going to run as a Democrat. You know, if it's Biden. Somebody said, oh, Biden's going to run. I think he's likely to be dead in 2 years.
I would imagine. With Carrie Lake, Katie Hobbs' supposed lead over her has shrunk to 0.7%. So, and they're still counting votes. So if it gets to 0.5%, there has to be a recount. And I guess there is a possibility that she could still surpass her based upon the number of votes that are left. So, I think that's why Carrie Lake hasn't conceded yet. But, I would love Carrie Lake as a VP for President Trump. I mean, she's somebody that I could see running for president down the line. And as far as Ron DeSantis is concerned, being a Florida resident, we love Ron DeSantis down here, but we want him to be our governor for another 4 years. If DeSantis went and announced a presidential run for 2024, he wouldn't be overseeing Florida any longer. You know, I mean, he'd be out there on the campaign trail working on that until the primaries, at least. But yes, I understand.
I don't think he's going to run.
No. 28, he's a shoo-in. You know, I mean, that's it. As long as they haven't completely destroyed our electoral system by that point. A lot of people were very frustrated with President Trump last night. I mean, just the very fact that he would announce that he was running for president in the wake of the midterms and because things just haven't been settled. But, you know, I mean, that's when he had already pre-planned to make the announcement. I understand why he didn't do it during the midterms, because it allowed all of the press to be on the candidates and not necessarily on him, even though, of course, there was plenty of press on him. It's just inevitable. But this way, it's there. So either people are angry and they're going to fight like hell to make sure that he gets elected. If he's the guy, he has to be the guy. We can't split the base. Or people are going to drop out. That's the thing I'm worried about the most, is that people are just going to say, you know what? I'm done. You know, we've tried a couple of times. But I want everybody to remember that America has endured for hundreds of years for a reason. And there are ebbs and flows. You know, I mean, there are good times and bad times. And just because you're used to getting participation trophies doesn't mean that this is the time to take your toys and go home. We got to keep fighting. That's the only option we have, in my opinion.
Yeah. And look, we had 5 million more votes.
Absolutely.
So, there's some really interesting things that happened. You know, we had a refugee crisis in the United States. So Ron was a beneficiary of that. Abbott was a beneficiary of that. And that siphoned off votes that could have went other places. So, my sense, look, we took the House. That was my big thing. We needed to take one of these chambers.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and I think, I don't know if Dr. Oz wasn't my favorite in that. Like, I'm from Pennsylvania, and people like people that look like them in Pennsylvania, you know, and the only person they had left was Lurch. And so I think that was an unfortunate, miss on that part. But I think, look, Michiganers moved to Florida.
It's true. I mean, that's what I did. Here's the thing that I think a lot of people forget, and maybe they don't want to think about it because it's in the future and it's not now. But the next time we have a census, it's going to completely redistribute the power throughout the country. I mean, with all those people having left those states, I mean, they're going to have fewer seats, and we're going to have more, like in places down here in Florida. So, you know, things will be different. It's just you have to be willing to wait until that happens, and you have to be ready to keep moving in the interim to fight that. Bob, we have been talking for 25 minutes. I can't believe how fast the time has flown. I want to make sure... it always happens. I want to make sure we talk a little bit about this Ukrainian missile, and then I'll tie this into Germany. So back to the war in Ukraine. Dangerous times yesterday. The AP reports that there is at least one or two Russian missiles that went into Poland, killed two farmers, and they just reported it without having any official, investigation. And sources familiar with the matter, probably some spook at Langley, said these are Russian missiles. And so there you go. They went with it. Well, it turns out today, thank God that they have determined, the White House put out an official notice, that these were Ukrainian anti-air missiles that actually went into Poland and killed these people. But the thing that's scary to me is how close we are to a potential global conflict. I mean, if Poland, if let's say that somebody in the United States government had said, yes, these are Russian missiles, even before they did an investigation, Poland activates Article 5, and then all of the NATO nations end up pulling tanks up to the Russian border. And then here we go. I mean, we're right at the doorstep of World War III.
Yeah, and look, you know, and Zelensky like piled right on. Oh, we need to invade now.
Yeah.
On my way, you know, and, you know, but this is really interesting what's happening. You know, there's Russia, you know, I was just talking about Trump fatigue. There's Russia fatigue right now in this country.
Oh, yeah.
You already have General Milley trying to leak out to him, leak out into the press, trying to influence Biden and saying, hey, you know, no more money. We got to go compromise. We got to get this thing done. You have no idea. Russia's system, as I said it was going to happen, they're systematically destroying the infrastructure of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. They're going to create a humanitarian refugee crisis for Europe that they're not going to be able to absorb these people in the middle of winter. And then he's going to come pouring over across his border here, you know, with fresh troops, you know, and he has an advantage. You know, we needed to calm this thing down right away. So Zelensky is a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, and he knows because, you know, I think he has this blackmailed in the West, you know, that he knows that he could keep pressing and pressing and pressing. But yeah, I don't think, look, I think calmer heads are prevailing here because right away the DOD says, we can't confirm that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Within a minute, we can't confirm that. And Russia's not stupid. They know Zelensky's been trying to turn this into World War III so he can bring fresh troops in, mm-hmm. you know, to defend his position. But we don't even know if the Ukrainians fired those missiles directly into Poland, right? Yeah. I think, wasn't it 50 miles inside of Poland?
It was 42, you know, yeah, 42 miles.
That is really, really far for anti-air missiles, my friend.
Absolutely, okay? Yeah, that's the thing that makes it look like it was an intentional act. Like maybe some rogue, you know, general inside Ukraine or something said, you know what, we're just going to get this taken care of right now and call our buddies in NATO.
Yeah, let's just force the issue. And, but, you know... yeah, so look, I'm not a big fan of this war.
Yeah,
I'm definitely not a big fan of the way we're prosecuting this war. And to be honest with you, I'd rather have Russia as an ally than an enemy because in America's self-interest, we need Russia's stuff,
mm-hmm.
okay? And China, to me, is more of a concern as a strategic competitor slash enemy than Russia ever would be.
Yeah.
And I think they because they hoisted themselves on their own petard here trying to get Trump, that they created an enemy out of Russia just to validate their hate for Trump, you know? Mm-hmm. So this whole thing is just a hot mess. And I'm just worried that Russia's going to get what they want out of this thing. And we're going to be stuck with these $100-200 billion bills and we get nothing out of it. You know, there's not a Marshall Plan happening here. Mm-hmm. We don't know where the money's going, you know?
So somebody else who needs Russia's stuff is Europe. OK, Germany in particular, things are looking really bleak there right now. Obviously, you know, all sources of Russian energy have been cut off. We are in the coldest time of the year. I saw a video, I think this actually, she was in Austria, but she was talking about how, you know, they have no fuel, they have no gas, they have no coal to heat their homes. People are going off into the forest to cut down trees where, you know, it's illegal. They're not even supposed to be doing it, but people are desperate. And now we've got, you know, I don't know, just how bad do you think it's going to get this winter in Europe?
Oh, real bad. In fact, I did a podcast yesterday talking about that. Same thing. They're actually printing more euros in case you have blackouts and you can't use the ATMs. Mm. They're telling people that their telecom systems might go down. And if natural gas prices go up, they shut more businesses down because they can't afford to run. Yeah. So if we're going to get a colder winter. They're trying to baffle us here with, it's going to be a mild winter in Europe. You know, Europe, Northwest Europe is Northeast U.S., so if we get a cold winter, they get a cold winter. That's the way it works. And and look, you know, the biggest beneficiary of all this stuff, American energy. Mm-hmm. And the French are all ticked off because we're like, hey, you got to pay market rates. We're not giving you a subsidy, brother. You know, and so, you know, American natural gas, export it, liquefied. We're the number one producer in the world of that. Coal, our coal companies are doing great. Oil companies are doing great. Propane is doing great. Nuclear is doing great. So, you know, Russia's problem is our gain on this stuff, Zach. So, you know, that's how I look at it from a trader's perspective is I can't stop this war.
Sure.
But I know how to profit from it. And you know, and it's going to screw the American people. And that's my thing. Circle back to Trump. He doesn't have to say anything. I think Biden and these guys are going to hoist themselves on their own petard because we haven't seen inflation yet. Okay. You know, they're predicting oil next year, 113 to 117 as the average price. The year after that, we're up to 140 average price. We're not producing enough of it. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much screaming he does, we're not making enough oil. And by the time 2024 comes by, people are going to be, they're going to be begging Trump. They're going to be throwing palm trees and palm leaves down in the street for him to come because they screwed everything up so badly.
I agree. And I mean, I think he kind of intimated that last night when he said that, you know, this is the pause where like everybody realizes how bad it is. I mean, it's gotten bad since Joe Biden ascended to power in 2021. And now here we are and it's just getting worse. By the time this is another thing people are very worried about, that by 2024, there won't be a country left to save. But I don't think that that's going to happen. I mean, things get bad, but people are find a way to survive.
Hey, look, this is Jimmy Carter 2.0. So by the time Reagan showed up, people were done with Jimmy Carter. You know what I mean? And so you weren't born yet, but I was. And so I lived through my teenage years. You know, we had a carpool to get to school and get to work and do this and do that. You know, you couldn't go anywhere, you know. And that's what it's going to be like this time, too. It's going to be, I would say for America, people are going to realize, oh, times can get a bit tough. And it didn't have to be. And I think if that's what Trump does to remind people, I think he'll be well positioned in 2024.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right. Finally, one more company that may or may not be profitable. I want to get your thoughts on the direction they're going. But that would be Twitter. Elon Musk has really been cleaning house, came through, got rid of a couple thousand employees, told everyone to return to work. Just staggeringly, these people are challenging him online, getting fired in real time on Twitter. I absolutely love it. And apparently he just fired a couple thousand more people. And of course, Twitter continues to work. I mean, it goes to show you that maybe they could have been profitable this entire time, but they've just been throwing money on a giant bonfire and giving it away for no reason.
Yeah, look, I think Elon Musk, he has a bigger vision for Twitter than just being, look, he wants it to be payments, right? He's going to compete against YouTube on this stuff. You know, he wants to create an education community. I mean, look, he wants, this is the place you be. And today, yesterday, he was talking about the whole FTX thing. He said, look, our citizen journalists has uncovered more of this information and explained it to our subscribers than they'll ever learn watching the mainstream press. He said, citizen journalists forever. So he knows he's tapping into something. And his usage is skyrocketing. And he's going to monetize it. Look, I have no problem paying him for access to this. I want to support this. It's going to cost me $100 a year to support this. As long as he de-censors everything and we get our word out, that's like me giving money to a politician. I'd rather give it to him to do it. But he's going to embark on Twitter 2.0. And he just told people today, by 5 p.m. today, I want you to say, yes, I want to be part of Twitter 2.0. And I'm willing to sell out for it, meaning like work your butt off.
Yeah.
Or say no, and I'll have HR hand you your 3-month your slip,
severance.
Severance. That's what it is. Yep. I've never been severed. So I'm excited about it too, and I like that he engages. Look, I know he's a bit weird, and he does things. He's a bit of a grifter, but the stuff that he's produced for the country and the world, hey, I'm all for it. I'll take a little bit of that to get SpaceX, Starlink, Boring Company, Tesla, and Twitter the way he wants to do it. I think he has a good pulse on where the hockey puck is going, and I want him to be successful.
All right. I'm with you. I feel the exact same way. I like what he's doing, and I like the direction he's going. And it is really cool to see him giving such props to citizen journalists. You know, I mean, Twitter has been the tool of the mainstream media. And in one fell swoop, he just took that away from them. And all of these people who thought they had power and influence and had the monopoly on the flow of information now find themselves kind of washed out in the flood from people like us. I'm just waiting to get back on there. I think that that's going to be really cool. All right, Bob, tell everybody where they can find you one more time.
Yeah, TradeLikeAGenius.com or TradeGeniusAcademy.com. Check out our Black Friday specials. You'll love the price. You'll love the service. And we'll definitely help you learn how to trade effectively and get you into things that are going to be moving up over the course of the next couple of years so that you can thrive and not just survive. So thanks for letting me do the pitch. And I'll talk to you after Thanksgiving, Zach. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time.